Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, with Juliet Stevenson as Martha, Alex Jennings as George, Anastasia Hilly as Honey, and William Hope as Nick. Act 1, Fun and Games.
Jesus H. Christ.
For God's sake, Martha, it's 2 o'clock.
Oh, George.
Well, I'm sorry.
What a cluck. What a cluck you are.
It's late, you know, late.
What a dump. Hey, what's that from? What a dump.
How would I know what?
Oh, come on, what's it from? You know.
Martha.
What's it from, for Christ's sake?
What's what from?
I just told you. I just did it. What a dump. Hmm? What's that from?
I haven't the faintest idea what.
Well, it's from some goddamn Bette Davis picture. Some goddamn Warner Brothers epic.
I can't remember all the pictures.
Nobody's asking you to remember every single goddamn Warner Brothers epic. Just one. One single little epic. Bette Davis gets peritonitis in the end. She's got this big black fright wig she wears all through the picture, and she gets peritonitis, and she's married to Joseph Cotton or something.
Somebody,
and she wants to go to Chicago all the time because she's in love with that actor with the scar, but she gets sick, and she sits down in front of her dressing table.
What actor? What scar?
Oh, I can't remember his name, for God's sake. What's the name of the picture? I want to know what the name of the picture is. She sits down in front of her dressing table, and she's got this peritonitis, and she tries to put her lipstick on, but she can't, and she gets it all over her face, but she decides to go to Chicago anyway.
Chicago. It's called Chicago.
Huh? What is?
The picture. It's called Chicago.
Good grief. Don't you know anything? Chicago was a 30s musical starring Little Miss Alice Faye. Don't you know anything?
Well, that was probably before my time.
Can it? But just cut that out. This picture, Bette Davis comes home from a hard day at the grocery store.
She works in a grocery store?
She's a housewife. She buys things. And she comes home with the groceries. She walks into the modest living room of the modest cottage modest Joseph Cotton has set her up in.
Are they married?
Yes, they are married. To each other. Cluck. And she comes in and she looks around and she puts her groceries down and she says, what a dump.
Oh.
She's discontent.
Oh.
Well, what's the name of the picture?
I really don't know, Martha.
Well, think.
I'm tired, dear. It's late. And besides,
I don't know what you're so tired about. You haven't done anything all day. You didn't have any classes or anything.
Well, I'm tired. If your father didn't set up these goddamn Saturday night orgies all the time.
Well, that's too bad about you, George.
Well, that's how it is, anyway.
You didn't do anything. You never do anything. You never mix. You just sit around and talk.
What do you want me to do? Do you want me to act like you? Do you want me to go around all night braying at everybody the way you do?
I don't bray.
All right, you don't bray.
I do not bray.
All right. I said you didn't bray.
Make me a drink.
What?
I said, make me a drink.
Well, I don't suppose a nightcap would kill either one of us.
Nightcap? You kidding? We got guests.
We've got what?
Guests. Guests.
Guests?
Yes, guests. People. We got guests coming over.
When?
Now.
Good Lord, Martha, do you know what time it is? Who's coming over?
What's her name?
Who?
What's their name?
Who? What's her name?
Oh, I don't know what their name is, George. You met them tonight. They're new. He's in the math department or something.
Who are these people?
You met them tonight, George.
I don't remember meeting anyone tonight.
Well, you did. Will you give me my drink, please? He's in the math department. About 30, blonde and...
Good-looking?
Yes, and good-looking.
It figures.
And his wife's a mousy little type, without any hips or anything.
Oh.
You remember them now?
Yeah, I guess so, Martha. But why in God's name are they coming over here now?
Because Daddy said we should be nice to them, that's why.
Oh, Lord.
May I have a drink, please? Daddy said we should be nice to them, thank you.
Why now? It's after 2 o'clock in the morning.
Because Daddy said we should be nice to them.
Yes, but I'm sure your father didn't mean we were supposed to stay up all night with these people. I mean, we could have them over some Sunday or something.
Well, never mind. Besides, it is Sunday. Very early Sunday.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's done.
All right. Well, where are they? We've got guests. Where are they?
They'll be here soon.
What do they do? Go home and get some sleep first or something?
They'll be here.
I wish you'd tell me about something sometime. I wish you'd stop springing things on me all the time.
I don't spring things on you all the time.
Yes, you do. You really do. You're always springing things on me.
Oh, George.
Always.
Poor Georgie, poor G. Put upon pie. Oh, what are you doing? Are you sulking? Let me see. Are you sulking? Is that what you're doing?
Never mind, Martha.
Oh.
Just don't bother yourself.
Oh. Hey. Hey. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? Virginia Woolf. Virginia Woolf. What's the matter? Didn't you think that was funny? Huh? I thought it was a scream. A real scream. You didn't like it, huh?
It was all right, Martha.
You laughed your head off when you heard it at the party.
I smiled. I didn't laugh my head off. I smiled. You know, it was all right.
You laughed your goddamn head off.
It was all right.
It was a scream.
It was very funny, yes.
You make me puke.
What?
You make me puke.
That wasn't a very nice thing to say, Martha.
That wasn't what?
A very nice thing to say.
I like your anger. I think that's what I like about you most. Your anger. You're such a simp. You don't even have the what?
Guts.
Phrase maker. I put some more ice in my drink, will you? You never put any ice in my drink. Why is that, huh?
I always put ice in your drink. You eat it, that's all. It's that habit you have, chewing your ice cubes like a cocker spaniel. You'll crack your big teeth.
They're my teeth.
Some of them.
I got more teeth than you've got.
Two more.
Well, two more is a lot more.
I suppose it is pretty remarkable considering how old you are.
You cut that out! You're not so young yourself.
I'm 6 years younger than you are. I always have been, and I always will be.
Well, you're going bald.
So are you. Hello, honey.
Come on over here and give your mommy a big sloppy kiss.
Oh, no.
I want a big sloppy kiss.
I don't want to kiss you, Martha. Where are these people? Where are these people you invited over?
Stay down to talk to Daddy. They'll be here. Why don't you want to kiss me?
Well, dear, if I kiss you, I get all excited. I get beside myself, and I take you by force right here on the living room rug. And then our little guest would walk in, and, well, just think what your father would say about that.
You pig.
Oink. Oink.
Ha 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 ha. Make me another drink, lover.
My God, you can swill it down, can't you?
I'm thirsty.
Jesus.
Oh, look, sweetheart, I can drink you under any goddamn table you want, so don't worry about me.
Martha, I gave you the prize years ago. There isn't an abomination award going.
I swear, if you existed, I'd divorce
you. Well, just stay on your feet, that's all. These people are your guests, you know.
I can't even see you. I haven't been able to see you.
If you pass out or throw up or something.
I mean, you're a blank, a cipher.
I try to keep your clothes on, too. There aren't many more sickening sights than you with a couple of drinks in you and your skirt up over your head.
A zero.
Your heads, I should say.
Party, party!
I'm really looking forward to this, Martha.
Go answer the door.
You answer it.
Get to that door, you. I'll fix you, you.
To you.
Come on in! I said, get over there.
All right, love. Whatever love wants. Isn't it nice the way some people have manners, though, even in this day and age? Isn't it nice that some people won't just come breaking into other people's houses, even if they do hear some subhuman monster yowling at them from inside?
Fuck you! Hi! Hi there! Come on in!
Hope it's not too late.
You must be our little guest.
Just ignore old Sourpuss over there. Come on in, kids. Give your coats and stuff to Sourpuss.
Well, now, perhaps we shouldn't have come.
Yes, it is a little late.
Late? You kidding? Throw your stuff down anywhere. Come on in.
Anywhere. Furniture, floor. Doesn't make any difference around this place.
I told you we shouldn't have come.
I said come on in. Now come on.
Oh, dear.
Look, muckmouth. You cut that out.
Martha. Martha's a devil with language. She really is.
Hey, kids. Sit down.
Isn't this lovely?
Yes, indeed. Very handsome.
Well, thanks.
Who did the...
That? Oh, that's by...
Some Greek with a mustache Martha attacked one night.
Oh, now.
It's got a...
What, a quiet intensity?
Well, no.
Then a certain noisy, relaxed quality, maybe.
No, what I meant was...
How about a quietly noisy, relaxed intensity?
Dear, you're being joshed.
I'm aware of that.
I am sorry. What it is, actually, is it's a pictorial representation of the order of Martha's mind.
Make the kids a drink, George. What do you want, kids? What do you want to drink, huh?
Honey, what would you like?
Oh, I don't know, dear. A little brandy, maybe? Never mix, never worry.
Brandy? Just brandy? Simple, simple. What about you?
Bourbon on the rocks, if you don't mind.
Mine? No, I don't mind. I don't think I mind. Martha, rubbing alcohol for you?
Sure. Never mix, never worry.
Martha's tastes in liquor have come down, simplified over the years, crystallized. Back when I was courting Martha, well, I don't know if that's exactly the right word for it, but back when I was courting Martha...
Screw, sweetie!
At any rate, back when I was courting Martha, she'd order the damnedest things. You wouldn't believe it. We'd go into a bar... You know, a bar, a whiskey, beer, and bourbon bar. Mm-hmm. And what she'd do would be she'd screw up her face, think real hard, and come up with Brandy Alexanders, creme de cacao frappes, gimlets, flaming punch bowls, seven-layer liqueur thing.
They were good. I like them.
Real ladylike little drinkies.
Hey, where's my rubbing alcohol?
But the years have brought to Martha a sense of essentials. The knowledge that cream is for coffee, lime juice for pies, and alcohol, pure and simple. Here you are, Angel, for the pure and simple. For the mind's blind eye, the heart's ease, and the liver's craw. Down the hatch, all.
Cheers, dear.
Cheers.
You have a poetic nature, George. A Dylan Thomas-y quality that gets me right where I live.
Vulgar girl with guests here.
Hey. Who's afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Virginia Woolf. Virginia Woolf. Who's afraid of
Virginia Woolf?
Oh, that wasn't that funny? That was so funny.
Yes, it was.
I thought I'd bust a gut. I really did. I really thought I'd bust a gut laughing. George didn't like it. George didn't think it was funny at all.
Lord Martha, do we have to go through this again?
I'm trying to shame you into a sense of humor, Angel. That's all.
Martha didn't think I laughed loud enough. Martha thinks that unless, as she demurely puts it, that unless you bust a gut, you aren't amused. You know, unless you carry on like a hyena, you aren't having any fun. Mm-hmm.
Well, I certainly had fun. It was a wonderful party.
Yes, it certainly was.
Oh, and your father, he is so marvelous.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I tell you.
He's quite a guy, isn't he? Mm-hmm. He's quite a guy.
And you better believe it.
Oh, he's a wonderful man.
No, I'm not trying to tear him down. He's a god, we all know that.
You lay off my father.
Yes, love. All I mean is, when you've had as many of these faculty parties as I have...
I rather appreciated it. I mean, aside from enjoying it, I appreciated it. You know, when you're new at a place, meeting everyone, getting introduced around, getting to know some of the men. When I was teaching in Kansas...
You won't believe it, but we had to make our own way all by ourselves. Isn't that right, dear?
Yes, it is. We...
We had to make our own way. I had to go up to wives mm-hmm. in the library or at the supermarket and say, "Hello, I'm new here. You must be Dr. So-and-so's wife." Mm-hmm. It really wasn't very nice at all.
Well, Daddy knows how to run things.
He's a remarkable man.
You bet your sweet life.
Let me tell you a secret, baby. Mm-hmm. There are easier things in the world if you happen to be teaching at a university. There are easier things than being married to the daughter of the president of that university. There are easier things in the world.
It should be an extraordinary opportunity. For some men, it would be the chance of a lifetime.
There are, believe me, easier things in the world.
Well, I can understand how it might make for some awkwardness, perhaps. Conceivably.
Some men would give their right arm for the chance.
Alas, Martha, in reality, it works out that the sacrifice is usually of a somewhat more private portion of the anatomy.
Yeah.
I wonder if you could show me where the...
Martha, are you all right?
Of course, dear. I want to put some powder on my nose.
Martha, won't you show her where we keep the... euphemism? Hmm?
What? Oh, sure. I'm sorry. Come on. I want to show you the house.
I think I'd like to...
Wash up?
Uh-huh.
Sure. Come on. With me. You two do some men talk for a while.
We'll be back, dear.
Honestly, George, you burn me up.
All right.
You really do, George.
Okay, Martha. Okay. Just trot along.
You really do.
Okay. Okay. Vanish.
Come on.
Vanish. So, what will it be?
Oh, I don't know. I'll stick to the bourbon, I guess.
That way you were drinking over at Parnassus?
Over at...
Parnassus.
I don't understand.
Skip it. One bourbon.
Thanks.
That's just a private joke between little old Martha and me. So, you're in the math department, eh?
No.
Martha said you were. Well, I think that's what she said. What made you decide to be a teacher?
Oh, well, the same things that motivated you, I imagine.
And what were they?
Pardon?
I said, what were they? What were the things that motivated me?
Well... I'm sure I don't know.
You just finished saying that the things that motivated you were the same things that motivated me.
I said I imagined they were.
Oh, did you? Well, you like it here?
Yes, it's fine.
I mean the university.
Oh, I thought you meant...
Yeah, I can see you did. I meant the university.
Well, I like it. Fine. Just fine. You've been here quite a long time, haven't you?
What? Oh, yeah. Ever since I married, what's her name? Martha. Even before that. Forever. Dashed hopes and good intentions. Good, better, bested. How do you like that for a declension, young man, eh?
Sir, I'm sorry if we...
You didn't answer my question.
Sir?
Don't you condescend to me. I asked you how you liked that for a declension. Good, better, best, bested. Well?
I really don't know what to say.
You really don't know what to say?
All right. Well, what do you want me to say? Do you want me to say it's funny so you can contradict me and say it's sad? Or do you want me to say it's sad so you can turn around and say, no, it's funny? You can play that damn little game any way you want to, you know.
Very good. Very good.
And when my wife comes back, I think we'll just...
Now, calm down, my boy. Just calm down. All right? You want another drink? Here.
I still have one. I do think that when my wife comes downstairs...
Here, our freshen. Give me your glass.
What I mean is, you two you and your wife seem to be having some sort of a...
Martha and I are having nothing. Martha and I are merely exercising. That's all. We're merely walking what's left of our wits. Don't pay any attention to it.
Still.
Well, now, let's sit down and talk, huh?
It's just that I don't like to become involved in other people's affairs.
Oh, well, you'll get over that. Small college and all. Musical beds is the faculty sport around here.
Sir?
I said musical beds is the faculty... Never mind. I wish you wouldn't go, sir, like that. Not with a question mark at the end of it. You know, sir, I know it's meant to be a sign of respect for your elders, but the way you do it, sir, madam?
No disrespect intended.
How old are you?
28.
I'm 40 something. Aren't you surprised? I mean, don't I look older? Doesn't this gray quality suggest the 50s? Don't I sort of fade into backgrounds? Get lost in the cigarette smoke, huh?
Well, I think you look fine.
Oh, yeah, I've always been lean. I haven't put on 5 pounds since I was your age. I don't have a paunch, either. What I've got this little distension just below the belt. But it's hard. It's not soft flesh. I use the handball courts. How much do you weigh?
I...
155, 60, something like that? Do you play handball?
Well, yes. No, I mean, not very well.
Oh, well then. We should play sometime. Martha is 108 years old. She weighs somewhat more than that. How old is your wife?
She's 26.
Martha is a remarkable woman. I would imagine she weighs around 110.
Your wife weighs...
No, no, my boy. Yours, your wife. My wife is Martha.
Yes, I know.
If you were married to Martha, you would know what it means. But then if I were married to your wife, I would know what that means too, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Martha says you're in the math department or something.
No, I'm not.
Well, Martha is seldom mistaken. Maybe you should be in the math department or something.
I'm a biologist.
No. Oh.
Sir?
You're the one. You're the one's going to make all that trouble. Making everyone the same, rearranging the chromosomes or whatever it is, isn't that right?
Not exactly. Chromosomes?
I'm very mistrustful. Do you believe that people learn nothing from history? Not that there is nothing to learn, mind you, but that people learn nothing. I am in the history department.
Well...
I am a doctor. A.B., M.A., Ph.D., Abmafid. Abmafid has been variously described as a wasting disease of the frontal lobes and as a wonder drug. It is actually both. I'm very mistrustful. Biology, huh? I read somewhere that science fiction is not really fiction at all. That you people are rearranging my genes so that everyone will be like everyone else. Now, I won't have that. It would be a shame. I mean, look at me. Is it really such a good idea if everyone was 40-something and looked 55? You didn't answer my question about history.
This genetic business you're talking about...
Oh, that. That's very upsetting. Very disappointing. But history is a great deal more disappointing. I am in the history department.
Yes. You told me.
I know I told you. I shall probably tell you several more times. Martha tells me often that I am in the history department, as opposed to being the history department, in the sense of running the history department. I do not run the history department.
Well, I do not run the biology department.
You're 21.
28.
28. Perhaps when you're 40-something and look 55, you will run the history department.
Biology?
The biology department. I did run the history department for 4 years during the war, but that was because everybody was away. Then, everybody came back. Because nobody got killed. That's New England for you.
Isn't it amazing? Not one single man in this whole place got his head shot off. That's pretty irrational. Your wife doesn't have any hips, has she? Does she?
What?
I don't mean to suggest that I'm hip-happy. I'm not one of those 36, 22, 78 men. No siree, not me. Everything in proportion. I was implying that your wife is slim-hipped.
Yes, she is.
What are they doing up there? I assume that's where they are.
you know women.
Not one son of a bitch got killed. Of course, nobody bombed Washington. No, that's not fair. You have any kids?
No, not yet. You?
That's for me to know and you to find out.
Indeed.
No kids, huh?
Not yet.
People do. Have kids. That's what I meant about history. You people are going to make them in test tubes, aren't you? You biologists. Babies. Then the rest of us, them as wants to, can screw to their heart's content. But you are going to have kids anyway, in spite of history.
Yes, certainly. We want to wait a little until we're settled.
And this is your heart's content? Illyria, Penguin Island, Gomorrah, you think you're going to be happy here in New Carthage, eh?
Well, I hope we'll stay here.
And every definition has its boundaries, eh? Well, it isn't a bad college, I guess. I mean, it'll do. It isn't MIT. It isn't UCLA. It isn't the Sorbonne. Or Moscow U, either, for that matter.
I don't mean forever.
Well, don't you let that get bandied about. The old man wouldn't like it.
Huh?
Martha's father expects loyalty and devotion out of his, staff. I was going to use another word. Martha's father expects his, staff to cling to the walls of this place like the ivy, to come here and grow old, to fall in the line of service. One man, a professor of Latin and elocution, actually fell in the cafeteria line one lunch. He was buried, as many of us have been, and as many more of us will be, under the shrubbery around the chapel. It is said, and I have no reason to doubt it, that we make excellent fertilizer. But the old man is not going to be buried under the shrubbery. The old man is not going to die. Martha's father has the staying power of one of those Micronesian tortoises. There are rumors, which you must not breathe in front of Martha, for she foams at the mouth, that the old man, her father, is over 200 years old. There is probably an irony involved in this, but I am not drunk enough to figure out what it is. How many kids are you going to have?
Well, I don't know. My wife is
slim-hipped. Have a drink.
Yes.
Martha! Damn it! You asked me if I knew women. Well, one of the things I do not know about them is what they talk about while the men are talking. I must find out sometime.
What do you want?
Isn't that a wonderful sound? What I mean is, what do you think they really talk about? Or don't you care?
Themselves, I would imagine.
George!
Do you find women puzzling?
Well, yes and no.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, here's one of you at least.
Oh, she'll be right down. Oh, you must see this house, dear. This is such a wonderful house.
Yes, I...
Martha!
For Christ's sake, hang on a minute, will you?
She'll be right down. She's changing.
She's what? She's changing?
Yes.
Her clothes?
Her dress.
Why?
Why? I imagine that she wants to be comfortable.
Oh, she does she?
Well, heavens, I should think...
You don't know.
You feel all right?
Oh, yes, dear. Perfectly fine.
So she wants to be comfortable, does she? Well, we'll see about that.
I didn't know until just a minute ago that you had a son.
What?
A son. I hadn't known.
You to know and me to find out? Well, he must be quite a big...
Oh, 21. 21 tomorrow. Tomorrow is his birthday.
Well,
she told you about him?
Well, yes. Well, I mean, she...
She told you about him?
Yes.
You say she's changing?
Yes.
And she mentioned...
Your son's birthday, yes.
Okay, Martha. Okay.
You look pale, honey. Do you want a...
Oh, yes, dear. A little more brandy, please. Just a drop.
Okay, Martha.
May I use the bar?
Yeah. Yeah, by all means. Drink away. You'll need it as the years go on. You goddamn destructive.
What time is it, dear?
2:30.
Oh, it's so late. We should be getting home.
For what? You keeping the babysitter up or something?
I told you we didn't have children.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't even listening or thinking. Whichever one applies.
We'll go in a little while.
Oh, no. No, you mustn't. Martha is changing, and Martha is not changing for me. Martha hasn't changed for me in years. If Martha is changing, it means we'll be here for days. You are being accorded an honor, and you must not forget that Martha is the daughter of our beloved boss. She is his right ball, you might say.
You might not understand this, but I wish you wouldn't talk that way in front of my wife.
Oh, now.
Really? Well, you're quite right. We'll leave that sort of talk to Martha.
What sort of talk?
There you are, my pet.
Well, now.
Why, Martha, your Sunday chapel dress.
Oh, that's most attractive.
You like it? Good. What the hell do you mean, screaming up the stairs at me like that?
We got lonely, darling. We got lonely for the soft purr of your little voice.
Oh, well, then, you just trot over to the barry pool.
And make your little mommy a great big dwink.
That's right. Well, did you two have a nice little talk? You men solve the problems of the world as usual?
Well, no.
What we did actually is try to figure out what you two were talking about.
Aren't they something? Aren't these... men, the absolute end. Why didn't you sneak upstairs and listen in?
Oh, I wouldn't have listened, Martha. I would have peeked.
It's a conspiracy.
And now we'll never know. Oh, shucks.
Hey, you must be quite a boy, getting your master's when you were, what, 12? You hear that, George?
Well, 12 and a half, actually. Mm-hmm. No, 19, really. Mm. Honey, you needn't have mentioned that.
Oh, I'm proud of you.
That's very impressive.
You're damn right.
I said I was impressed, Martha. I'm beside myself with jealousy. What do you want me to do, throw up? That really is very impressive. You should be right proud.
Oh, he's a pretty nice fella.
I wouldn't be surprised if you did take over the history department one of these days.
The biology department.
The biology department. Of course, I seem preoccupied with history. Oh, what a remark. I am preoccupied with history. I think I'll make myself a drink.
George is not preoccupied with history. George is preoccupied with the history department. George is preoccupied with the history department because...
Because he is not the history department, but is only in the history department. We know, Martha, we went all through it while you were upstairs getting up. There's no need to go through it again.
That's right, baby. Keep it clean. George is bogged down in the history department. He's an old bog in the history department. That's what George is. A bog. A fen. AGD Swamp. The Swamp. Hey, Swamp. Hey, Swampy!
Yes, Martha, can I get you something?
Oh, well, sure. You can light my cigarette, if you're of a mind to.
No, there are limits. I mean, man can put up with only so much without he descends a rung or two on the old evolutionary ladder, which is up your ladder. Sinks, Martha, and it's a funny ladder. You can't reverse yourself, start back up once you're descending. Now, I'll hold your hand when it's dark and you're afraid of the bogeyman, and I'll tote your gin bottles out after midnight so no one will see. But I will not light your cigarette. And that, as they say, is that.
Jesus. Hey! You played football, huh?
Dear?
Oh, yes. I was a quarterback, but I was much more adept at boxing, really.
Boxing? Mm-hmm. You hear that, George?
Yes, Martha.
You must have been pretty good at it. I mean, you don't look like you got hit in the face at all.
He was intercollegiate state middleweight champion.
Oh, honey.
Well, you were.
You look like you still got a pretty good body now, too. Is that right? Have you?
Martha, decency forbids.
Shut up. Well, have you? Have you kept your body?
Yeah, it's still pretty good. I work out.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, he has a very firm body.
Have you? Oh, I think that's very nice.
Well, you never know. You know, once you have it.
You never know when it's going to come in handy.
Well, I was going to say, why give it up until you have to?
I couldn't agree with you more. I couldn't agree with you more.
Martha, your obscenity is more...
George here doesn't cotton much to body talk, do you, sweetheart? George isn't too happy when we get to muscle. You know, flat bellies, pectorals.
Would you like to take a walk around the garden?
Now.
You're amused. All right.
Paunchy over there isn't too happy when the conversation moves to muscle. How much do you weigh?
165, 100 and...
Still at the old middleweight limit, eh? That's pretty good. Hey, George. Hey, tell them about the boxing match that we had.
Christ.
George, tell them about it.
You tell them, Martha. You're good at it.
Is he all right?
Oh, sure. George and I had this boxing match. Oh, Lord, 20 years ago? A couple of years after we were married.
A boxing match? The two of you?
Really?
Yep, the two of us. Really?
I can't imagine it.
Well, like I say, it was 20 years ago, and it wasn't in a ring or anything like that. You know what I mean. It was wartime, and Daddy was on his physical fitness kick. Daddy's always admired physical fitness. Says a man is only part brain. He has a body, too. Mm. And it's his responsibility to keep both of them up. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Says the brain can't work unless the body's working, too.
Well, that's not exactly so.
Well, no, maybe that isn't what he says. I mean, something like that. But anyway, it was wartime, and Daddy got the idea that all men should learn how to box. Self-defense. I suppose the idea was if the Germans landed on the coast or something, the whole faculty would go out and punch him to death. I don't know.
It was probably more the principle of the thing.
No kidding. Anyway, so Daddy had a couple of us over one Sunday, and we went out in the back, and Daddy put on the gloves himself. Well, Daddy is a strong man. Well, you know.
Yes.
And he asked George to box with him. And George didn't want to. Probably something about not wanting to bloody up his meal ticket.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, George said he didn't want to, and Daddy was saying, oh, come on, young man, what sort of a son-in-law are you? And stuff like that.
Yeah.
So while this was going on, I don't know why I did it. I got into a pair of gloves myself. You know, I didn't lace them up or anything. I snuck up behind George, just kidding, right? And I yelled, hey, George! And at the same time, I let go sort of a roundhouse right. Just kidding, you know?
Uh-huh.
And George wheeled around real quick, and he caught it right in the jaw. Pow!
I meant it, honestly. Anyway, pow! Right in the jaw, and he was off balance. He must have been, and he stumbled back a few steps, and then crash! He landed flat in a huckleberry bush. Oh, it was awful, really. I mean, it was funny, but it was awful. I think it's colored our whole life. Really, I do. Well, it's an excuse, anyway. It's what he uses for being bogged down, anyway. Why he hasn't gone anywhere. And it was an accident. A real goddamn accident. You know?
Pow!
Oh, my God. Oh, God.
You're dead. Pow, you're dead.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, where'd you get that, you bastard?
Where did you see that? Where did you...
Oh, God, I have never been so frightened in my life. Never.
Oh, I've had it a while. Did you like that?
You bastard.
I have never been so frightened. Never.
This is quite a gadget.
You liked that, did you?
Oh, yeah. That was pretty good. Come on, give me a kiss.
Later, sweetie. Yeah. Oh, that's what you're after, is it? What are we going to have? Blue games for the guests? Huh?
You prick.
Everything in its place, Martha. Everything in its own good time.
You.
Here, let me show you. It goes back in like this.
That's damn clever.
Drinks now. Oh. Mm. Drinks for all.
I'm now finished.
Oh, I think I need something. I was never so frightened in my life. Weren't you frightened? Just for a second?
I don't remember.
Oh, no. I bet you were.
Did you really think I was going to kill you, Martha?
You? Kill me? That's a laugh.
Well, now I might. Someday.
Fat chance.
Yeah. Where's the John?
Through the hall there and down to your left.
Well, don't you come back with any guns or anything now.
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't need any props, do you, baby? I'll bet not. No fake Jap gun for you, eh?
Okay, I leave my drink here.
Yeah, sure, why not? We got half-filled glasses everywhere in the house. Wherever Martha forgets, she's left them. In the freezer, on the edge of the bathtub. I even found one in the linen closet once.
You did not.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Yes, I did. Brandy doesn't give you a hangover?
I never mix. And then I don't drink very much either.
Oh, that's good. Your husband was telling me all about the chromosomes.
The what?
The chromosomes, Martha. The genes, or whatever they are. You've got quite a terrifying husband.
Oh,
no. No, really, he's quite terrifying with his chromosomes and all.
He's in the math department.
No, Martha. He's a biologist.
He's in the math department.
Oh, biology.
Are you sure?
Oh, well, I ought to be.
I suppose so. I don't know who said he was in the math department.
You did, Martha.
Well, I can't be expected to remember everything. I meet 15 new teachers and their goddamn wife's present company outlawed, of course. And I'm supposed to remember everything. So, he's a biologist. Good for him. Biology's even better. It's less abstruse.
Abstract.
Abstruse. In the sense of recondite. Don't you tell me words. Biology's even better. It's right at the meat of things. Hey, you're right at the meat of things, baby.
Oh?
They thought that you were in the math department.
Well, maybe I ought to be.
No, you stay right where you are. You stay right at the meat of things.
You're obsessed with that phrase, Martha. It's ugly.
You stay right there. Well, you could take over the history department just as easy from there as anywhere else. God knows somebody's gonna take over the history department someday, and it ain't gonna be Georgie boy there, that's for sure. Are ya, Swampy? Are ya? Huh?
In my mind, Martha, you are buried in cement right up to your neck.
No, right up to your nose. That's much quieter.
Georgie boy here says you're terrifying. Why are you terrifying?
I didn't know I was.
Oh, it's because of your chromosomes.
Oh, the chromosomes business.
What's all this about chromosomes?
Well, chromosomes are...
Yeah, I know what chromosomes are, sweetie. I love them.
Oh, well,
Martha eats them. For breakfast. She sprinkles them on her cereal. It's very simple, Martha. This young man is working on a system whereby chromosomes can be altered. Well, not all by himself. He probably has one or two co-conspirators. The genetic makeup of a sperm cell changed, reordered, to order, actually, for hair and eye color, stature, potency, I imagine, hairiness, features, health, and mind. Most important... mind. All imbalances will be corrected, sifted out. Propensity for various diseases will be gone, longevity assured. We will have a race of men, test tube bred, incubator born, superb and sublime.
Exciting.
But everyone will tend to be rather the same, alike. Everyone, and I'm sure I'm not wrong here, will tend to look like this young man. Here.
That's not a bad idea.
All right, now.
It will, on the surface of it, be all rather pretty, quite jolly. But, of course, there will be a dank side to it, too. A certain amount of regulation will be necessary for the experiment to succeed. A certain number of sperm tubes will have to be cut.
Huh?
Millions upon millions of them. Millions of tiny little slicing operations that will leave just the smallest scar on the underside of the scrotum, but will assure the sterility of the imperfect, the ugly, the stupid, the unfit.
Now, look.
With this, we will have, in time, a race of glorious men.
Huh?
I suspect we will not have much music, much painting, but we will have a civilization of men, smooth, blonde, and right at the middleweight limit.
Oh.
A race of scientists and mathematicians, each dedicated to and working for the greater glory of the super civilization.
Goody.
There will be a certain... loss of liberty, I imagine, as a result of this experiment, but diversity will no longer be the goal. Cultures and races will eventually vanish. The ants will take over the world.
Are you finished?
And I, naturally, am rather opposed to all this. History, which is my field, history, of which I am one of the most famous bogs, will lose its glorious variety and unpredictability. I, and with me the... the surprise, the multiplexity, the sea-changing rhythm of history will be eliminated. There will be order and constancy, and I am unalterably opposed to it. I will not give up Berlin.
You'll give up Berlin, sweetheart. You're going to defend it with your paunch?
I don't see what Berlin has to do with anything.
There is a saloon in West Berlin where the bar stools are 5 feet high, and the earth, the floor, is so far below you. I will not give up things like that. No, I won't. I will fight you, young man. One hand on my scrotum, to be sure, but with my free hand, I will battle you to the death.
Bravo!
That's right, and I am going to be the wave of the future.
You bet you are, baby.
I don't see why you want to do all those things, dear. You never told me.
Oh, for God's sake!
Oh!
The most profound indication of a social malignancy. No sense of humor. None of the monoliths could take a joke. Read history. I know something about history.
You don't know much about science, do you?
I know something about history. I know when I'm being threatened.
So, everybody's gonna look like you, eh?
Oh, sure. I'm gonna be a personal fucking machine.
Isn't that nice?
Dear, you mustn't. You mustn't.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey.
It's such language.
I'm sorry, all right?
Well, all right. When is your son?
What?
Something about your son.
Son?
Where is coming home?
here.
Oh. Martha, when is our son coming home?
Never mind.
No, no, I want to know. You brought it out in the open. When is he coming home, Martha?
I said, never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Him up? Not it. You brought him up. Well, more or less. When's the little bugger going to appear, huh? I mean, isn't tomorrow meant to be his birthday or something?
I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, but Martha...
I don't want to talk about it!
I'll bet you don't. Martha does not want to talk about it. Him. Martha is sorry she brought it up. Him.
When's the little bugger coming home, hmm?
Honey, don't you think you...
Yes, Martha, since you had the bad taste to bring the matter up in the first place, when is the little bugger coming home?
George talks disparagingly about the little bugger because, well, because he has problems.
The little bugger has problems? What problems has the little bugger got?
Not the little bugger. Stop calling him that. You've got problems.
I've never heard of anything more ridiculous in my life.
Neither have I.
George's biggest problem about the little... about our son, about our great big son, is that deep down in the privatemost pit of his gut, he's not completely sure it's his own kid.
My God, you are a wicked woman.
And I've told you a million times, baby, I wouldn't conceive with anyone but you. You know that, baby.
A deeply wicked person.
I'm not sure that this is a subject for...
Martha's lying. I want you to know that right now. Martha's lying. There are very few things in this world that I am sure of. National boundaries, the level of the ocean, political allegiances, practical morality. None of these would I stake my stick on anymore. But the one thing in this whole sinking world that I am sure of is my partnership, my chromosomological partnership in the creation of our blonde-eyed, blue-haired son.
I'm so glad.
That was a very pretty speech, George.
Thank you, Martha.
You rose to the occasion good. Real good.
Well, real well.
Honey, Martha knows. She knows better.
I know better. I've been to college like everybody else.
Martha been to college. Martha been to a convent when she were a little twig of a thing, too.
Mm-hmm, and I was an atheist. I still am.
Not an atheist, Martha. A pagan. Martha is the only true pagan on the Eastern Seaboard.
That's nice. Isn't that nice, dear?
Yes. Wonderful.
And Martha paints blue circles around her things.
You do?
Sometimes. You want to see? Oh, tut-tut yourself, you old floozy.
Oh, he's not a floozy. He can't be a floozy. You're a floozy.
Now you watch yourself.
Oh, all right, all right. I'd like a nipper brandy.
Honey, I think you've had enough now.
Nonsense. Everybody's ready, I think.
Nonsense.
Okay.
Our son does not have blue hair, or blue eyes, for that matter. He has green eyes, like me.
He has blue eyes, Martha.
Green.
Blue, Martha.
He has the loveliest green eyes. They aren't all flaked with brown and gray, you know, hazel. They're real green, deep, pure green eyes, like mine.
Your eyes are brown, aren't they?
Green. Well... In some lights they look brown, but they're green. Not green like his, more hazel. George has watery blue eyes. Milky blue.
Make up your mind, Martha.
I was giving you the benefit of the doubt. Daddy has green eyes, too.
He does not. Your father has tiny red eyes, like a white mouse. In fact, he is a white mouse.
He wouldn't dare say a thing like that if he was here. You're a coward.
You know that great shock of white hair and those little beady red eyes? A great big white mouse.
George hates Daddy. Not for anything Daddy's done to him, but for his own...
inadequacies.
That's right. You hit it right on the snout. Hey, where do you think you're going?
We need some more booze, Angel.
Oh. So go.
Thank you.
He's a good bartender. A good bar nurse. The SOB. He hates my father. You know that?
Oh, come on.
Oh, you think I'm joking? I never joke. I don't have a sense of humor. I have a fine sense of the ridiculous, but no sense of humor. I have no sense of humor.
I haven't either.
Well, yes, you do, honey. Quiet one.
Well, thank you.
You want to know why the SOB hates my father? You want me to tell you? All right. I will now tell you why the SOB hates my father.
Oh, good.
Some people feed on the calamities of others.
They do not.
All right. Shut up, both of you. All right, now. Mommy died early, see? And I sort of grew up with Daddy. I went away to school and stuff, but I more or less grew up with him. Oh, Jesus, I admired that guy. I worshipped him. I absolutely worshipped him. I still do. And he was pretty fond of me, too, you know? We had a real rapport going, a real rapport.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and Daddy built this college. I mean, he built it up from what it was. It's his whole life. He is the college.
Uh-huh.
The college is him. You know what the endowment was when he took over and what it is now? You look it up sometime.
I know. I read about it.
Shut up and listen, cutie. So, after I got done with college and stuff, I came back here and I sort of sat around for a while. I wasn't married or anything. Well, I'd been married, sort of, for a week.